T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. Right now, we open up the entertainment page to find out what's going on in the entertainment world.
All right, boys, there's still Tiger King news out there, and I can't get away from it. I don't think we talked about this. This broke a couple days ago. Maybe it was yesterday because the days all run together. But that producer, there was a bunch of producers, I guess, involved with filming Joe. But I believe the guy who's on camera, that Rick Kirkham, that kind of like old, gross-looking dude smoking cigarettes.
Smokes a billion cigarettes.
He claims that Joe, the star of Tiger King, is actually terrified of big cats.
What?
And that the whole thing was a ruse, that whenever he was in the shots in the film, in the documentary with the cats, he's with one of two tigers. The white one is blind, and the other one is tranquilized. So he says it's idiotic to think he's become famous as the Tiger King when he's actually terrified of those cats.
Clever editing, my
friend. Everything he did was for the cameras, for whatever fame, but he actually hated them. And then I did, you know, I don't think the documentary really portrayed enough what a monster that he really was, according to some of these reports, if you believe it. Kirkham tells a story of a woman who was crying and she had to give her horse away. Right? And so she went to Joe, and I guess he did this on camera or whatever, or I don't know if they use it in the documentary, but the producer was there, and she's crying, and she says she has to give the horse away. He says, don't worry, I'll give it a good home. The Kirkham says before she left the property, he says, hey, Rick, roll your camera. You're going to love this. He walked up, pulled a gun out of his holster, shot the horse dead, and then went into the barn and chopped it up with a chainsaw and fed it to the lions.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Probably the same fate that happened to Mama Grizzly.
Exactly.
Any Mama Grizzly updates, Valdez and or Draft?
No updates, I'm sure.
Zippy.
Zippy.
Wash
Zippy.
Their hands of that thing.
Yep. Elmer's glue.
Right.
Elmer's glue.
Can you imagine? I mean, I don't think they portrayed that. Like, I didn't get that sense that he was that bad.
I mean, that just seems diabolical.
and I guess part of the big reason why Carol was after him is she knew that kind of thing was going on. Now, he also apparently, and I guess this was portrayed in the documentary, but I didn't quite catch it, that he did a lot of, like, magic shows. Did you know that?
Yes. He had, like, a traveling magic show.
He had, like, a traveling magic show, and she shut it down because of the animal deal. Yeah. And they say, so he wasn't even really a magician. He hired a magician, and then the magician did all the stuff, and then eventually he paid the magician to teach him some of the tricks, and he did some of the tricks, and they say he would, like, packed the malls in. He was making a boatload of money. But when Baskin shut all that down, that he was forced then to breed the tigers. And that's when he started to go down the wrong road.
Can we all agree that magic is pretty stupid? I know that we like our friend Max Major. He's an illusionist.
I like
magic,
it.
I mean, come on.
I'd rather go to a magic show than a lion show.
I think I'd rather go to, like, a big tiger show, like a big cat show.
David Blaine just had a special a couple weeks ago.
I know. I get psyched.
We've always liked David Blaine bits.
I love David Blaine. Did you not like, hold on, Cakes, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's been in the studio a million times, and even though sometimes I get pissed when I can't figure it out, but you don't like when Max Major does his bit?
I love it.
Be honest, Cakes.
I do enjoy it, but I'm just saying magic as a whole.
Have you seen Max do his show when he did it at that theater?
Did you ever go? I've only seen it.
I went. It was awesome.
It was awesome. The show was awesome.
I went there. I brought my buddy Dr. Z, who lives in Connecticut, came down, and he had some sort of conference in Baltimore. He went to Baltimore, went to the show, just blown away. Dr. Z was on stage, and he knew exactly what his childhood job dream was.
It's all a farce.
Right.
How did he figure that out?
He's the best.
I can't figure it out. I'm not saying that I have all the tricks figured out.
How did he get that Super Bowl score inside that envelope that you sealed and put in your locker?
Still don't know.
Bluetooth pen.
Is that what it is? He's really using that Bluetooth?
I think it's a Bluetooth pen and paper bit. Yeah.
Okay. Probably is.
I think
you know what it is? Micro printer inside the envelope.
There's something like that.
Yeah.
There is something like that.
Remember the first time he was ever in studio? This was back in, I believe we were in Atlanta. And he came in studio and I picked the card. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And you guys lost your mind.
You guys all thought I was in on it, but it was magic, Cakes. That's what it is. It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic. I'm sure it's magic.
It is.
This is where Valdez should be playing Magic by the Cars.
You're
supposed to sing it.
No, you're supposed to sing it, Cakes. You're the sound machine.
Oh, it's magic.
What about America? We can do magic.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, I remember that song now.
How about Abracadabra?
That's Steve Miller.
So many magic titles. Magic the Gathering. Stupid. We can all agree on
magic
that.
Magic Man, Harley.
Though, if you're good at Magic the Gathering, you're a poker slayer. You're just great at poker. They go hand in hand.
See, I always thought that Dan Snyder was probably played Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering. But I don't envision him being a good poker player.
Probably not.
Yeah. I think he's too stupid. all right. So the SNL at-home bit that I didn't even realize was occurring apparently slayed in the ratings. It's the second highest rated SNL since Eddie Murphy's comeback, which I thought was kind of a dud, but people love that. Now, the numbers are muted. They're nowhere near what they used to be. So it's their second highest rated show ever in recent times, and it only did 6.7 million viewers.
And you take it with a grain of salt, too, because everybody's trapped. People can't go anywhere.
Yeah, but I would have thought they would have done more than 6.7 million viewers if it was so highly rated.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that's a success these days, in particular for a show that airs at that time.
It is. No, that's why I'm doing the story. They were happy with it.
And so was Tom Hanks.
Let's always frame ratings numbers as successes. However we can do it, whether it's TV or radio, they're
correct,
always
Cakes.
A success.
Yeah, so, I just don't care about them for 6 months, Cakes.
But think about
this,
Eric.
That is true.
Think about this. 6.7, all right, that's more than everybody in the DMV. So just imagine every single person you ever see in this area is watching it.
I know, but Jason, this is going to make me sound old, but I remember growing up and like MASH would get 40 million viewers.
Oh, you know?
There were three networks.
So I understand, but like Seinfeld would do 30 million or
that's
something.
7 million is an S-load of people.
38
it's
million
not
too much
that
for MASH.
Many in old school like.
No,
TV
I agree.
Was.
Well, I brought this up last week with the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It was getting 36 million people a night to watch it.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it did
now, that was on in prime time.
Yeah,
I watched that. Did
they
anybody
cable
watch?
Then.
Anybody watch the Celebrity Edition that came out last week with Jimmy Kimmel? No. I watched the first go around. It's still the same game. I think I'm in.
I thought we were going to play every week.
No, we are. Later in the week, I'm asking the questions. We'll do it like maybe Thursday or Friday. We're going to do another million.
Do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Game Show Wednesday.
Yeah, but then you're going to make me come up with the questions in a day.
You just got to come up with seven questions.
Give me 2 days.
Seven questions.
Come on, Larry.
2 days.
All right, so you want to do it tomorrow?
Yes. Obsessed.
All right, tomorrow. All right.
I always want to play. I never want to host.
I'll be the host.
I always want to play. I'm selfish.
All right, tomorrow we'll do Junkies Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Christ.
Right. One Direction.
I got to do extra work today.
Jason, have you been following this story at all? Your daughters?
One Direction? What, are they getting back together?
One Direction apparently secretly working on a plan to celebrate their 10th anniversary. With ideas ranging from reuniting for a TV special to a new single. So they're either going to come out with a new song or they're going to just come out with a TV special where they're all performing together.
Does it also have Harry Styles walking in the room and saying, I'm getting 95%. The rest of you chumps are chopping up 5%.
Well, hold on. I think all of those guys have had some success. Like Niall Horan. He's had a couple hits.
Yeah, but not like Harry.
Harry's the undisputed star, breakout star of that group.
But I think Horan's number two.
And Liam and Louis are nubs.
Louis definitely doesn't do anything, right?
No. But I have to ask my daughters about that. I'm sure they know.
Yeah. They're all
didn't
on
Louis
different
brother, Didn't Louis' brother carry the rock a ton in the NFL?
Yes.
Tomlinson.
Yes, they are.
He was a beast.
Same mom.
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people are making fun of Florida. They left the beaches open. And now, I guess the governor has said that wrestling is an essential business in Florida. They're allowing the WWE to, I guess, host some wrestling events there, although I believe with no fans. Is that correct?
Yeah, they did WrestleMania with no fans. And
right.
So they've got a center down there.
They have a performance center in Orlando.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with campaign contributions to his campaign WWE.
Just coincidental.
But, hey, I said this. If it's free and it's out there, I might check it out. I don't know who the current champions are of WWE.
If you texted me and
Gronk
said it
is
was
a champion.
Who?
Gronk has a belt.
Yeah. Gronk won a belt.
Gronk won a belt. I think he's the holder. Drab, you can help me with this. Is he the holder of the 24/7 belt?
But hold on. I thought he was just like emceeing. Did he actually get in the ring? Right. Did he actually get in the ring?
That's all you need.
Oh my God.
He did some Gronk smashing.
Listen how soft Drab's talking.
I know. It sounds so terrible.
He doesn't want to wake his wife up. Oh, doesn't sound like it.
Well, your volume is a little low, maybe. What's your wife doing right now?
Yeah, what is she doing? She's still sleeping?
She is?
Making breakfast?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Where are you broadcasting from? That's your hook it room. That's also known as the whistle room.
Yeah.
Right? Valdez.
A lot of disturbing scenes in that room.
It's a multi-purpose room.
Can we get Valdez on, too, at the same time without that?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
All right. So I sent Valdez, a buddy of mine sent me an image. Now, it had a link like to hit play, but I'm wondering if this has gone viral, if you guys have seen this, because I don't get it. It's an image of a chick, looks like she's getting smoked in the kitchen, and she's like bent over.
Kitchen buns.
Yeah, kitchen buns.
This is Matt Valdez.
And the title is How to Frustrate Friends, and she's like, naked, except she's wearing, like, what are those things called? Like, an apron, essentially, is what it kind of looks like.
And you see side jugs.
And you see side boobage. But I don't get it. And I even texted back to my buddy. The link doesn't work. I'm bitter. But I don't get the. I don't understand this. Why is this titled How to Frustrate Friends?
Well, isn't that the whole in the title is that you're sending this suggestive video and you I'm pointing at you.
Oh, because I can't hit play.
Right.
Right. The play button is a fakey.
Right.
And it's faking you out.
So all right. So that's what it is.
Yeah. So you figured it out.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Well,
did.
Well, I figured it out.
Yeah. Well, Valdez had the same response. He said, I don't get it either.
Hey, Eric, have we gotten any submissions for our home video contest?
We've gotten zero.
Still waiting.
I mean,
20
if you,
years.
Listen. People said to Joe Buck they wanted him to do play-by-play of their sex tape. Valdez and I said we would do it. Now, Valdez would do play-by-play. I would do color. The offer still stands. Just tweet us at Junks Radio.
Yeah,
can you get one from
Amy
Wertheimer?
What?
That would be interesting.
Haven't heard from Amy.
There are none of those exist. They're in the cyber world.
You could send in an old tape. You don't have to make a new one. So I know there are a lot of couples out there that have some. Like,
and multiple entries is okay.
Yeah, and you can do multiple entries.
You're so bored, you guys would
that
do it with
a lot. You can read into it.
You're so bored. If two dogs wanted you to do play by play, you would do
what
it.
About those, no.
Yeah, you got to tape a Luca.
What about the pandas at the National fixed. Zoo? Weren't they getting after it during the coronavirus?
Did they say, like, for the first time in years?
Right.
I mean, believe me, I don't know anything about those pandas. But I thought they said something. Was it been, like, decades?
I don't know if it was decades.
They said the first time they, like, naturally hooked up.
I just saw
the panda's name is Lurch.
I knew that was coming.
They were hooking up because there was no people around.
Right. Oh, all is that
people.
Why?
All the people.
All the people.
All the people, like, they, it's like
they're shy.
Right. Like squirrel at a
urinal. They don't
want to
text it in public. Bunch of gawkers watching them.
Yeah, they have stage fright. Is that true?
Well, you would, too, if you had 3,000 tourists pressed up against the glass waiting for you to smash.
You don't think you could hit, you don't think you could pull that off, Cakes? I think I'm after not, a decade, I could.
I'm not Bucky. Sorry, Buck. That was collateral damage.
Yeah, sorry. That was
I can't
Joe
remember
Shrapnel.
Where I was. I ran into, I think it was like Panera and Bowie a couple months ago before the coronavirus, and I don't think I'd ever met him, but I met Bucky's brother. Bucky apparently, I think he's married now.
Of course he's married. He's got at least
a
good child. Yeah. You didn't know that?
You know what? I'm guessing his.
Why would I know that?
Well, I'm guessing his 2-5 sessions have.
They've dried up.
They've gone whoop.
I think so. I think he's busy now.
Yeah. Old busy. Buck Styles settled down.
Buck
yeah, he
Styles.
Definitely settled down. I wonder if his wife knows about his past.
Is this real first name Leonard?
Yes.
Yes.
Bucky's better. Bucky greater than Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah. I wonder if he kept the mask.
Oh, probably not. Hey, he could use it now out in public.
Exactly. That's what he could use.
The only problem is like a Jason Voorhees goalie mask. It's not was like it, a surgical mask.
Was it him and Drunk Mike on the set?
Yeah, Drunk Mike was like the panda bear. He couldn't get it. He couldn't. He got
right.
nervous.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time.
But Bucky persevered.
No yeah,
did.
Doubt.
Did he end up taking the mask off?
Yeah. Bucky was like the guy. Did you see the viral picture? We were talking about this a couple breaks ago of like when people wear masks and stuff, but they still dig in and touch their face. There was a picture that went viral of a guy at the grocery. He had a mask on and he had gloves on and wipes and everything. And then the picture was him. He had the glove in his mouth and he was texting on his phone.
He really cares.
He's doing it all wrong.
What a dummy. What a dummy.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. By the way, coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to play some Junkies Password. I know the prize pigs, they've been dormant for a while.
Oh.
But we have a $25 gift card to Paisano's, which we will give away, not just pizza over at Paisano's. You guys know that.
Something
and you can make
everyone.
Your own pizza.
Yes, correct.
So thank you to Paisano's. We'll give away that gift card coming up at 9 o'clock playing some Junkies Password. And I hear tomorrow for Game Show Wednesday, all right, Jason is on the spot. He's going to have to prep a game for the rest of the Junkies.
All
we'll
right.
do that as an example. But then we're also going to play with our listeners because I believe we have two to give away on tomorrow's show. So I'll prep those questions. Not
Very
a big
good.
Deal.
Like
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in on anything. Like I said, we'll get the Junkies Password coming up at 9 o'clock.
So password today and then tomorrow, who wants to win a silly prize?
Who wants to win a right. GC? Who wants to win a gift card?
That's right.
A gift card. All right.
The
nice.
Stakes
who
are
wants
lower.
To, yeah, who wants to win a good pizza?
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I'm telling you, JP mentioned the Paisano's, the making home pizza bit, I actually asked for more of them.
Sure.
We've made,
I'm going to do that again soon, too.
Yeah. So far, we've gotten 6 delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually stretch out the dough and don't just make a round one. We stretch out the dough and make, 2 long, thin ones.
Right.
And it's just awesome. I love it. I really like it.
Thank you again to the great people at Founding Farmers Restaurants.
Right.
Yeah. For sending us those packages yesterday. They were awesome.
It was very cool, right?
And they're doing groceries now. Essentially, we got groceries / meals.
Yeah. I talked about it earlier in the show. I finally got my Instacart order in early this morning because it kept clicking and it kept saying no delivery times. So I followed the advice and I put extra tip in there and let's see if it gets me my food any quicker. What I'm guessing the guys do is the people that are shopping, they're looking at it and they're going, okay, this is the most bang for my buck. I'll do that order first.
Sure.
Right?
You put a fat tip in there, that's the one they're going to nibble on first, I would think.
I gave a $37 tip to do my grocery shopping.
That seems like a pretty large gratuity.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good tip. So let's see. So if I get it before Sunday, it helped. If I don't, next time I'm just going to tip nubs. I'm just going to give the minimum. Because I want that extra service, Gakes.
Sure. You want them to go above and beyond.
I went on Saturday to Teeter, and I usually just go once a week. That's what I've been doing the last 3 weeks. But there are a couple items that we absolutely need that I missed out, just slept on it, down to the last roll of paper towels, for example. But I do have 5 masks, so I'm going to put the mask on today, head to Harris Teeter, get some paper towels, and there's like 4 or 5 other items on the list.
You don't even have a choice anymore. You have to wear your mask.
Correct.
And I 100% Hogan on that. I think that's smart. We got to protect each other. It feels awkward, but it makes it less awkward, and everyone sort of has to do it. So I'm pleased. I told you yesterday, I'm so paranoid that I had a guy coughing across the street from me, and now I got all these studies in my head where they said that a cough can actually go 27 feet. In my mind, I was actually thinking, is that 27 feet away, or did some of his snot get on me? Because when you actually see those videos where they have like the infrared and you see where all the boogers go,
how far it goes,
it's unbelievable. Like the little micro little particles.
Yeah, but you know the bad luck you'd have to get sick when a guy's across the street.
I'm doing a bit. I don't really think, but I did think about it for half a second. But the point is, Jason, is that when in normal everyday life, when people sneeze or whatever, that stuff is everywhere.
Oh, it flies everywhere, right.
And you don't even,
I didn't think it was 27 feet, but I guess
right.
It is.
Yeah. Big cloud of just boogers, micro boogers, Gakes.
So gross.
It's what it is.
I would shudder to see a video of our studio when people are hacking and coughing, sneezing in that small confined
Have they
space.
Ever done one of those where they see like fart particles? Is it the same thing?
I've never seen that. I don't know.
Is it
Valdez's area of expertise.
Valdez, is it the same thing as when you sneeze? So you have little microfecal particles?
It's your opportunity
to do the
sound about it.
Fecal matter.
Here's Valdez. Now I can see spit droplets going past my desk here. It's gross. Right.
I'm telling you, man, this whole thing is going to change the way we act. I think for years. It's going to take a long time to get out of it.
Dude, it even affects me like when I watch taped poker. You hear guys like just off the mic, just
right.
coughing and hacking and everybody's touching their face.
How are you going to play poker, Cakes, when this is done? When they say, okay, this virus, we think we've got it under control. Only 1% of the population or whatever might have it. How are you going to go back to the poker room? And you're an ambassador, so I know you but I don't want you to just pull back the curtain and be honest. How are you going to comfortably play poker socially?
I think at least at the outset, I will play with gloves.
And a mask?
I don't know about mask, but definitely gloves and hand sanitizer. And I will do everything within my power not to touch my stupid face while I'm wearing the gloves, because I know whatever I've picked up from the chips or the cards is now on the gloves.
Right.
I think masks, I'm telling you, this is my word.
Maybe I'll wear a mask. I don't know.
I think masks, I said this to you a month ago, they might be ubiquitous in this country.
Might be the new fashion trend.
Yep.
Might be the new bit.
You're going to wear your Nike mask or your Louis Vuitton mask.
MGM National Harbor branded mask, perhaps.
Yep. Especially during flu season.
Right.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I might. That might be the move at this point.
Because now we all know
I just want to go back to MGM National Harbor and get my chips.
That's what I figured you wanted to do.
Have you started to panic about that yet?
I didn't panic, but I mean, my wife brought up, she's like, what if MGM goes out of business? I said, they're not going out of business.
They're not going anywhere.
I mean, it's tough times for them, like it is for a lot of businesses, obviously. Their doors are shuttered, but they're not going anywhere.
It is incredible to fathom that all these casinos and hotels and restaurants are just shuttered.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
These casinos that up till this pandemic happened, we're so worried about being shuttered even for a minute or 5 minutes because of like a massive power outage. They've been dark for months.
Right. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
What are the airports like? I mean, they have to be down to like 5% of
down
what
they're down to the nubbins, I would
yeah. Right?
Yeah. Who's
I guess people
these
are
days?
Well, for work. Some
my buddy's a
for
pilot
work.
At United, and he said the last flight he took or he flew was 2 weeks ago to Tampa. To Tampa. And he said that there were 13 people on it, and 10 of the 13 were employees.
Right.
So they
right.
were other I mean, pilots or flight attendants.
And who right. would fly into a hot spot like Florida right now?
Nope.
If you're flying anywhere, you're trying to fly where the virus isn't spreading at a crazy rate.
Think about it. Would you, the next time you fly, let's say it's not for 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a mask.
Probably going to wear a mask.
And I'm definitely going to do my bit with the wipes. Yep. And wipe down everything.
Smart.
100%. And I don't see that changing.
Yeah. It might be the new way we do business going forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's hurting. I hate that idea. It just feels terrible. But I can't see myself now going on a plane and just inhaling everyone's boogers.
I think my next flight is probably going to be back to West Palm. Where would I go before that?
Right. Well, I'll be traveling right. for volleyball.
Next spring training.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, you anywhere. Hope.
Yeah, but hopefully that's the case.
Yeah.
Not going back to Drive Shack. Overrated.
Eric, you hope you're traveling for volleyball.
Well, I know eventually we will. Eventually yeah. that's going to happen. I don't know. There's still hope. They're still holding out hope. I got my 10-year-old signed up for a tournament in Pittsburgh in June.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I know, but you had to make the call. We had to make that. Remember I told you, we had to make the call a week ago.
Yeah.
Are we in or are we out? And
as long as you don't put up money up front.
Well, I think you do, but you can get a refund if they end up canceling.
Right, right.
You know, which I'm assuming they're going to cancel, but maybe they won't.
Well, if you play, then the world's a much better place because that means all these restrictions
Absolutely.
Have been
lifted. Well, that means they're going to allow 1,000 people in a convention center.
Right. Don't see it happening, but I'm hoping
I'm wrong. Which is hard to fathom.
By the way, Cakes, you can rest easy. I just did a little research.
I can?
And according to financial analysts,
all right.
MGM and all of their properties can last an estimated 8 to 16 months with no cash coming in.
That shows you how loaded they are.
They've got those deep cash reserves, my friend. Like
you know who's doing
that.
The same bit? It just shows you how loaded they are. Apple, to my understanding, is paying all of their employees to stay at home.
Apple.
And it's not like it's one small business doing the right thing. That's friggin' Apple. Well, can you imagine how many employees they have?
Just Google how much Apple cash is parked overseas right now.
Yeah.
It might be into the hundreds of billions of dollars.
They have more than a bunch of countries.
Right.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know,
greater GDP.
But still they don't have to do that. So you gotta give them props for using it. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you buy a phone now, it's like over $1,000. Easy.
Right. Someone give me a recommendation because people have suggested I get my mom an iPad, and I'm not going to get her a $1,000 new iPad. I'd get her an old one. Give me your best bang for your buck, like refurbished, used iPad. I'm not going to get her, you know, what is it? Like the first Retina display or
hit me up
on Twitter because I want to get her one for like $200 or something.
You want to get her a hoopty?
I want to just get her one that she could just easily get on Zoom with. You know what I mean? Just boom, hit the button, and you're in. Something she can easily check her email with. Even though it's a brand new ecosystem for her, I feel like that'll be easier for her to navigate. Her Samsung phone, as soon as it goes dark, she loses her place and she can't get back to where she was. And you know that happens all the time.
Even if you're walking her through it.
Yes. And then you end up screaming. You should run video of when
you were screaming at her when she was on the phone the other day.
Yeah, you should see when I scream at her.
Evie, call up Techno Beaver. Maybe he can help you out.
Gary DeLabate?
Yeah, call up Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
He can hook you. some advice.
All right, do we have our guy coming up next, JP?
Yeah, coming up next, we're going to talk about a virtual game which Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will be commenting on, I guess.
Calling?
Broadcasting?
Calling a virtual game. We're going to be joined by, let me see, Michael Friedman. He's the president of the National Press Club, so he'll talk about the virtual opening day with the Nationals.
Nice.
Radio broadcasters, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. We'll get into that next here in the Giants. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to be joined by Michael Friedman shortly, the president of the National Press Club. They're doing a virtual opening day conversation with Dave Jagler and Charlie Slows coming up at 1 o'clock. It's actually been 15 years since the...
They're not calling a game.
They're not calling a game. I guess it's just a conversation.
Correct.
They're... It's been 15 years since the Nationals played their first home game.
I know.
I went to at least one of those games at RFK.
I want to say
I saw Mark McGwire in like an exhibition game.
Maybe you did.
He was actually playing?
I don't know if he played, but it was McGwire was with the Cardinals then. And yeah.
I think he was like the hitting coach or something.
15 years ago?
I mean, I don't know. How old is Mark McGwire? Is he about 55, 56? Or is he older than that?
Yeah, I don't think there was a chance he was playing in 2005.
He might have been. Who knows? When was the crazy home run year? What was that?
56. He's 56.
Yeah, he played till 2001.
Yeah. So
damn,
he was
man,
done.
I'm just so old, I'm making things up in my head.
Yeah. I don't think I went to one at RFK.
I think the last event I went to at RFK, I think I went to the Military Bowl at RFK. I think it was like Toledo against Air Force. I can't remember the year. I just remember the place is falling apart, and it was butt cold.
Is it possible that they played exhibition games at RFK years before they came to D.C.?
Who, the Nats? Nats.
The Expos.
No, I don't think so. You're making it up, dude. You're just making it up.
JP's down the wormhole now.
Yeah, you're just making it up. You're trying to justify it in your brain, and you didn't. Cakes, you never went to DC United games at RFK?
I did, but I think the last game I saw was the Military Bowl. Yeah, I went to the DC United game, sure.
Yeah.
We were on the field at one of the DC United games, remember?
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. Like, I went, like, a year or two ago. Like, before
UB's always scarred because he supposedly got booed. I don't really remember him getting booed.
Well, 100% got booed because I skied it over the post.
On a penalty kick.
On a PK, yeah. I got booed by 20,000 people. It was packed.
All right, well, we're joined now by Michael Friedman on the Maps for Us hotline. He's the president of the National Press Club. They're doing a virtual opening day with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler at 1 o'clock today. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? I've been listening to your program, enjoying it very much.
By the way, I just jumped into Mike, even though he's Michael. Yeah, I don't know if he goes by Mike.
With Michael.
Is Mike
Do you go
okay?
by Mike every once in a while?
Mike is correct, unless you're my mom or my wife.
Okay. All right. So that works.
So, Mike, we were just talking about it. Tell us what it was like 15 years ago when the Nationals came. There was a lot of buzz, but you didn't have Nationals Park. It was a whole different vibe.
Well, RFK Stadium was a wonderful place to welcome the Nationals 15 years ago tonight. It was rickety, like the team that moved here from Montreal. Probably the most famous person on the field was the manager, Frank Robinson. I personally went to the ballpark to see. I mean, we were all hungry for baseball. It had been 33 years. But there was the great Frank Robinson on the field, and that meant a lot to all of us that day. When LeVon Hernandez threw the first pitch, it really sent chills up and down all of us. It was just amazing.
Now, I'm embarrassed that I don't know this. But was Zim there yet or no?
He came up later in the season. He came up that year out of University of Virginia. And he came up late in the season. He actually hit over 100, and he became the first National with over 50 to hit better than 300. And so he's the only guy that has played all 15 seasons in Washington.
Right. I knew that. I just didn't know when his debut was.
Now, for the chat today, people can actually submit questions, right? Can you tell us how they can get involved?
Yeah. So if people want to log on to press.org, that's the National Press Club website. On the homepage, there's a link to get to the live stream. And when you go to the live stream, you will be able to write in questions. And our producer, Lindsay Underwood, is going to be taking in the questions. She's actually going to be emailing them to me in bunches. I have about 100 questions already for these guys. I mean, there's a lot of pent-up demand right now for baseball.
Absolutely.
In Washington, as you know. So, yeah, we welcome everybody's questions this afternoon.
By the way, you used to be the GM of CBS, the CBS radio network. And I don't even know, when we were working for like Westwood One,
right?
Did we cross paths back then somehow? And we're like,
we might all have crossed paths. I mean, usually the connective tissue is a guy named Bart Kessler, who Bart ran the news and sports operations for Westwood One. He still does. And Bart and I go back to the 1970s, but a lot of the sportscasters and I have been buddies over the years. A fellow named John Todges, who was with Westwood. In fact, Andy Poland, who is periodically on your station, was my sports director at UPI Radio back in the 1980s.
Wow. So, well, our guy was Larry Michael, when Larry was there.
Oh, yeah. Larry and I have known each other a long time. Yeah,
right.
No, for some reason, something popped in my head. Is Jason's favorite all-time show that we ever did, when we did a Monday night football. So CBS Radio used to run Monday night football games, and Westwood One Monday night football games, and we were syndicated for 3 years in the evenings, and they had us go out to the Westwood One studios and do a show, and we realized no one
was listening.
Because the Redskins were playing, I think, right? And they were on, and the Monday Night Football was carrying them.
I think they also had computers from 1979 in the office. True.
We were the only four people listening to the show.
It was us and the board op.
Like, yeah, well, that's the beauty of radio, right? You know, you never know what the heck is going on or what kind of equipment you're going to be using. When I was at CBS Radio Network in New York, I will tell you, I mean, it was quite wonderful. And I was heading the radio news division at that time. We were still using reel-to-reel, 10-inch reel-to-reel tape recorders record the iconic broadcast, the CBS World News Roundup. We were playing the actualities off reel-to-reel tape recorders at that time, which was quite a feat, you know, which was pre-cart. So it was amazing.
JP, it's funny you bring it up. Drabby says you were right. There was a game. Was it in 1999 where the Expos played? And maybe
They played the Cardinals?
They played the Cardinals.
I swear, I remember.
See,
I
mean, he was right. A two-game exhibition series.
Yeah,
RFK.
I remember seeing Mark
JP's
McGuire
an RFK
at RFK.
Baseball historian. Who knew that?
All right, there you go.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We're getting older, and our memories are starting to become fleeting, but I didn't think I made that up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What's your opinion of when we're going to see baseball, and do you care if they're playing in Arizona or Florida or wherever? I mean, I don't really. I just want to see live games. Yeah. But what's your opinion of when it's going to start and how it's going to start?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to start in May, and I have trouble visualizing it starting before the second half of the year. In any event, it would be fine with me if there are no fans in the stands. And yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter where they play. I would love to see a pitch thrown in. I'd like to see the first pitch of the season. I would like to see games played. You know, one of the things I want to talk about with Charlie and Dave this afternoon is how they would call these games on the radio. You know, way back in the 1930s and 40s, you had sportscasters that used to engage in recreations where they had a wire ticker and they used to get the results of every pitch, and then they would have to turn it into play-by-play. And there's a very good possibility that all the play-by-play announcers will be at a remote location calling the games off a television screen. So it should be interesting. I think we're all just eager for baseball. We're eager to get our minds off of what we're dealing with. You know, nobody has to remind us what we're dealing with every minute of every day right now. And I think we're ready. That's what I love about your guys' humor. You know, you can take some of the things that we're dealing with and you could turn it into high humor and some low ball humor.
Mostly low.
I don't know if it's high. It's definitely low.
It's a very low brow show you're appearing right on today.
So, Michael, if our erudite listeners want to ask questions, it's just press.org?
Go to press.org to start, and then there'll be a link to get to the live stream site. And then once you're on the site, you'll be able to ask questions off the screen on that. Okay. And
you can
send them in. So we're looking forward to talking to these guys. We did a test yesterday, and all three of us were on Zoom. And Dave lives in Rhode Island, and Charlie's in Florida, and I'm, of course, here in the D.C. area. And it was just good to see them. It was good to hear their voices. And, you know, the last pitch that counted that was thrown was Daniel Hudson's strikeout of Michael Brantley in the World Series, and Charlie's call of that has become one of those iconic calls certainly in the history of Washington baseball. You know, for a lot of us, it's right up there with Russ Hodges screaming the Giants win the pennant when Bobby Thompson, you know, hit his home run, or Vin Scully talking about Kirk Gibson's home run in the 1988 World Series. It's a magic moment for us, and I hope that we can make people smile and feel good this afternoon, because we could all use it.
Michael, we appreciate the time. Look forward to it. It's 1 o'clock today, press.org. That's Michael Friedman, president of the National Press Club. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
If you got questions for Charlie Slows or Dave Jagler, 1 o'clock, go to press.org. Follow what Michael told us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.